When the sun pulled away the cover of night, Caledonia recognized the sleek bow of an assault ship marked with two vertical bands of red paint dripping down the nose. And on its quarterdeck, the black scales of a sunsail grabbed at the early light. It was comparable in size to the Mors Navis, and like the Mors Navis, it could put on incredible speeds quickly, though it wasn't nearly as maneuverable as a result worked best in concert with other ships. At the moment, however, it was alone on the horizon, observing its prey from afar. With their wind sails bound and the sun sail in shreds, Caledonia hoped that their distress was convincing enough to entice the bullet ship. To sweeten the pot, it was time to give the appearance of fear. "Maximum propulsion," Caledonia called. "Ready the masts!" The ship rumbled, pulling water in from the front and shooting it out the back in an attempt to gain speed. A tail rose behind them for mere seconds, sending them forward a few useless feet before the system cut out and the ship drifted once again. A second later, mast ports snapped open, and the posts climbed to only half their usual impressive height before stopping. Let them think the Mors Navis was trying to run. And let them think she'd been caught off guard by the failure of her systems. Caledonia kept her eyes on the assault ship. For a moment, it stayed put, hovering a few miles out. It would be just her luck to have attracted a ballistic more concerned with caution than glory. Caution would sink them for sure. Then, a tail of water rose behind it, and the distance between them began to shrink. "Pi!" Caledonia called, but Pisces was already diving over the port rail to her tow, packed with fresh charges. She wore the slim pouch of the blue lung on her back, and the full mask of its regulator over her face. Testing once that air flowed from the tube connecting the two, she vanished beneath a chop. The action would do nothing good for her wound, but keeping her out of the water at a time like this would be worse for everyone. "Stay low, girls," Red Tooth's voice carried gently down the line. "Look beat." If the assault ship decided to blast them from a distance, they'd be sunk. Her girls needed to stay low, needed to look like they were more ready to surrender than fight. But playing the victim went against 53 sets of instincts. They were a wall of clenched teeth and clasped fists, of blood hot with fire and fight, of voices barely cinched in throats. It wouldn't hold for long. The approaching ship wasn't moving at full throttle, but tacked left, then right, surely trying to ascertain whether or not the Mors Navis was as incapacitated as it seemed. The crew held their breath. Most crouched beneath the cover of the starboard railing and a wall of plate metal shields, while Amina's knots were secured in their half-raised masts. Beads of sweat fell from their brows and prayers from their lips as they waited. Caledonia stood. She lifted her chin, let her stormy red braid fall forward over her shoulder, and when she was sure she had the eyes of the assault ship on her, she lifted her pistol and fired a single shot directly into the ocean. Surrender. For a moment, the only sound was the shuddering of their tattered sunsail. Then, the air filled with a roar as the assault ship tacked toward the Mors Navis and sped up. "Stay steely, girls!" Caledonia felt her own pulse spike. The urge to brandish her weapon was nearly overwhelming, but right now, being passive was the only thing keeping them alive. "Don't break!" The assault ship gathered speed until the ghost funnel mounted to the bow crooned in unearthly tones. It was like the hollow cries of children lost beneath the waves. No matter how many times Caledonia heard that sound, it never failed to send a quiet shiver down her spine. In moments, the ship was upon them, its deck teemed with bullets, faces alight with the impending conquest, arms bare to reveal bright orange scars. The ship veered around the Mors Navis, circling once to survey the situation. A spray of gunfire knocked into the hull, daring the girls to break formation and take up their weapons. "Steely," Red Tooth called over the noise. Not a single girl reached for her gun. The Mors Navis rocked as the assault ship made a tighter circle, pulling in close. An older man on the deck stepped up to the railing. His hair was close-cropped and the bridge of his nose pointed in three different directions on its way down his face. On his right arm, he bore five horizontal scars, each brilliant orange, and beneath it, the A inside a circle, marking him as one of Eric's ballistics. The man's darkly placid expression shifted as he searched the deck of the Mors Navis, surprised to find it full of girls. Finally, his eyes settled on Caledonia. "Weapons over," he commanded. "Come peaceful, and I may give you a home in my clip." The reaction among his bullets instilled no confidence that his words contained truth. Laughter, cheering, the cocking of guns. It did little to suggest that his home would be a friendly one. But the assault ship was still too far away for this to work. They needed to draw them close enough to board. Caledonia spoke only for the ears of her crew. "Guns over, girls. Like we planned." She raised her own pistol in the air and threw it into the ocean. It landed with a splash and was quickly followed by several more as the rest of her crew disarmed themselves. It was a loss, and not a small one. But they stood to gain so much more. Satisfied, the ballistic gave the signal. The assault ship moved forward, lapping the Mors Navis once more before sliding along her side. The grip hooks came down like curved teeth, latching on to the Mors Navis and allowing the bullets to lower a gangplank, connecting the two ships. "Captain first," the ballistic looked on shrewdly. Caledonia stepped forward. Alone, she crossed the gangplank to the deck of the assault ship. She could smell the too sweet perfume of silt, see the glassy look in the eyes of every bullet. She counted more than 40 of them scattered across the deck. Their sun sail was hoisted at the rear on a single mast bolted in place, all but unguarded. With great effort, she turned to face her crew, still safe aboard the Mors Navis, and for a moment, she was arrested with guilt. She had never asked them to take such a risk as they took now. But they looked on, their eyes alert and fiery, their mouths set and determined. They trusted her. Turning back to the ballistic, she spoke. "I am Captain Caledonia Styx of the Mors Navis, and I surrender."
"Caledonia Styx, nothing but a girl."
The ballistic's grin was mirth and conceit. Then, with a movement so fast Caledonia barely saw it coming, he struck her across the face with the back of his hand. She crashed to her knees before him. Her vision split, but not so much that she missed the smug expression on his face when he said,
"Surrender happens on your knees."
Blood slipped down Caledonia's chin. The taste of it was bright on her tongue. She felt sharp and bold, but she did not smile when she responded, "Yes, sir." The ballistic let one of his boys check her for weapons. Rough hands slid down her arms and back, searching for guns and large blades and finding none. It was a cursory search. Surely they planned something more thorough for later. Given the chance, they'd divest her of more than her weapons. Her senses would go next, riddled with silt, until she became one more piece in Eric's army. Satisfied, the ballistic returned his attention to the girls still aboard the Mors Navis.
"Now the rest of you," he called, resting a shotgun on his shoulder.
Amina was next. She led a small band of 5 girls across the plank, making a good show of looking defeated and defiant all at once. Lace led a small party over on Amina's heels, and reluctantly, 2 more groups followed, until they had 26 girls aboard the bullet ship. The bullets moved around her girls, reaching for cuffs and ropes to bind them. While the attention was on her surrendering crew, Caledonia pulled a small remote from her belt. She hoped she'd given Pisces enough time, but there was none left to spare.
"This rain will only soak you. Last chance, girls."
He said girls like it tickled his throat, with a purr and a smile. It coaxed a sneer from Caledonia's own lip, but she held her tongue and found the switch with her thumb. When none of the girls moved, the ballistic raised his hand. Dozens of bullets raised their guns and leveled their hungry eyes on the girls still aboard the Moors Navis. "Fire!" the ballistic shouted just as Caledonia flipped the switch. An explosion on the starboard side rocked the assault ship, knocking everyone to the deck. For just a moment, everything was still. The bullet's sunsail glittered like jewels. Water hissed as it rained back into the ocean, and Caledonia's crew made their next move. Amina and her 5 chosen girls recovered faster than the bullet clip. They pulled weapons from boots and hidden harnesses and raced toward the sail. Lace and the others now moved with Caledonia, blocking the path Amina had just taken. The assault ship listed heavily to starboard, while 5 bullets raced into the belly of the ship to staunch the wound. The rest turned to Caledonia and her girls. They were outnumbered. Caledonia counted at least 30 bullets still on deck. As they raised swords and guns alike, she heard Red Tooth shout, "Now!" Those still aboard the Moors Navis opened fire, pulling guns from hidden clips. The attack caught the bullets off guard, clearing the way for Amina and giving Caledonia and her girls a fighting chance. "Masts up! Knots high!" Caledonia called across the gap between ships. Red Tooth repeated the order, and the masts climbed to their full height. Half of the bullets leapt to the railing using whatever means possible to cross to the Moors Navis. Some raced across the gangplank. Some jumped. Still, others used their own rigging and swung over on ropes. Those who remained closed in on Caledonia and her small band. Lace was at Caledonia's side, pressing a pistol and sword in her hands. And then she was in the fray. Caledonia searched for the ballistic and found him in pursuit of Amina, aiming his rifle at one of the girls high in his sunsail rigging. Another of Pisces' bombs exploded, sending the ship heaving towards the Moors Navis, momentarily disrupting the fight. The gangplank cracked but did not fall, and the ship tilted toward the bow, heavy with water. The ballistic raised his gun again, this time aiming directly at Amina. Caledonia lunged across the deck, aware that as she did, she removed herself from the protection of her crew, leaving bullets at her back instead of sisters. But she had no time for safety. With all the speed she could muster, Caledonia aimed a kick at the ballistic's wrist. She made contact just in time, the shot biting into the deck of the ship instead of Amina's head. The ballistic turned instantly, striking out with the full barrel of his gun. It whipped across Caledonia's cheek, stunning her. A hand gripped her neck as the ballistic bent close to taunt her.
"If you'd come quietly, you might have saved a few of their lives. Now I'll let you watch as they die."
His confidence was as odious as his breath. He saw victory unfolding before him. Her crew was divided, spread out across 2 ships, while his was concentrated and brutal. He saw Caledonia's tactics as fractured instead of calculated. His mistake. A vicious scream split the air as a dozen girls spilled over the unmanned side of the assault ship, guns high. With all their attention on deck, the bullets had missed the moment her girls slipped overboard into the bow boat and skirted both ships. Now it wasn't her crew that was hemmed in on all sides. It was the bullets. Using the distraction to her advantage, Caledonia slid one leg behind the ballistics, and in 2 swift moves, the man was stumbling backward. He scrambled for his gun, but she was faster. She raised her pistol and fired. It was a solid hit. Blood spilled from a blossom high on his shoulder, knocking the fight from him. His knees buckled, and he landed on the deck. Her girls swarmed from all sides now. The fight swelled. Guns were traded for blades and fists. Caledonia caught her crew in flashes. Tin and Folly fighting back to back. Red Tooth's braid swirling around her as she dove her blade forward. There was Lace, blood bright on her cheek, struggling against a boy twice her size. In minutes, the battle was over. Amina's group had the sun sail halfway to the deck, and her crew was flush with triumph. Relief started to unfurl in Caledonia's chest. Then, as her girls corralled the remaining bullets around the mainmast, Caledonia saw a splash of blonde curls against the gray deck. A body lay there, unmoving and dappled in red. "Lace!" Caledonia rushed forward, dropping to her knees. "Lace!" she repeated, voice choked. The girl's cheeks were still pink from exertion, and blood puddled beneath her small body. In one hand, she clutched a gun, a twist of lace around the handle. Next to her, Pippa crouched with tears in her eyes, desperately trying to cover the wound in Lace's chest with her own hands. But it was too late. The moment Caledonia caught the flash of Lace's face in battle had been her last. Caledonia wanted to rage. She wanted to give her crew the order to fire on the remaining bullets, to remove their black hearts from this world, to give their bodies to the deep and send their ship after them. But she took a steadying breath. Blood. Gunpowder. Salt. This fight had cost her crew dearly already, and there was no point in wasting more bullets. "Surrender peacefully and you might live," Caledonia commanded, rising to her feet. She hoped at least a few of these bullets would give her the excuse for one more moment of violence. Caledonia felt their rage clutch around her like a noose. But one by one, the bullets dropped their guns and knives. Pippa and Folly quickly collected the abandoned weaponry. It would more than replace what they'd thrown over in their feigned surrender. Behind the crowd, Amina appeared with two others, the stolen sun sail bundled between them. Caledonia stooped to gather Lace's body into her arms, her heart keening like a ghost funnel.
"You really think you can run from him? You're a dead ship."
From where he kneeled on the deck, the ballistic spoke, his words as thick as the blood that now dripped down his arm. Caledonia swept her cold gaze across the clip. She'd spent so long dogging Eric's ships from afar that she'd never considered what it might feel like to stop running, to turn and fight as they'd just done. It didn't feel like victory.
"You're right. Eric Ahare killed us long ago."
The smile she offered them held no warmth.
"We simply seek to return the favor."
While her crew held the bullets at gunpoint, Caledonia hugged Lace close and walked calmly toward the gangplank, her crew following carefully behind. Her mother had once told her that there was more strength in calculation than in violence. Right now, she needed everyone, this clip and her crew alike, to know that she had won, and she was not afraid to turn her back on a boat full of bullets.
"Retract masts," she commanded,
feet once again on the familiar plane of her deck.
"Release the plank!"
Tin appeared and gently lifted Lace's body into her own arms.
"I have her, Captain."
The words were so familiar, so threaded with Lace's sweet voice assuring her, "I have the bridge, Captain," that for a moment, Caledonia's breath caught, and she clenched her teeth against a cry. She met Tin's somber eyes and responded, "You have her, Tin." In moments, the engines of the Moors Navis were humming with the last of their reserves. As they pulled slowly away, a final explosion rocked the assault ship. Pisces' parting gift punching the hull one last time and ensuring the ship would slowly submerge. They were scarcely a mile away when flares glittered in the morning sky. Purple and yellow and red. The remaining bullets calling for aid. Caledonia hoped it never came. Chapter 8 52 Their number had increased over the years. Sometimes in ones and twos. Sometimes in groups of five or more. Each time it jumped, Caledonia felt a strange twist of panic in her chest. As encouraging as it was to grow a full crew, it was also terrifying. She was responsible for each girl, for making sure they had food and drink and health, and she'd fought every day to keep them whole. To keep them 53. And she'd failed. It had been a night and a day since they left the assault ship. They'd driven hard to make the waters of the Bone Mouth, everyone determined and bent to their work. Amina got the new sun sail in place just as they ran through their reserves. It hung from the mizzen mast as though nothing had changed. Redtooth sat constant vigil with Lace in the belly of the ship, growling whenever one of the cats got too curious. She was as steady and stoic as a marble statue, with streams of tears carved against her cheeks. Himei was the only one who could get close enough to bring Red her meals. Their friendship had found its footing on the perilous terrain of Himei's withdrawal. With Himei lashing out and Redtooth refusing to back down, Himei knew when Red's marble exterior was just that, a shield standing guard over a tender heart. Pisces hid herself away with the engines, pouring her attention into something she could fix. And Caledonia took her position at the helm, the one she'd so frequently shared with Lace, and steered her ship with a firm hand. When the islands of the Bone Mouth appeared on the horizon, Caledonia gave the order to stop and finally retreated to her quarters. They needed deep water for Lace, and Caledonia needed a moment away from the eyes of her crew. Exhaustion tugged her toward her bunk, but she stripped out of her clothes and into something fresh, a simple pair of pants and knit top in shades of brown. The fabric was a relic of the old world, neatly wicking away her sweat when it was hot, reflecting her own body heat when it wasn't. Easy to clean and hard to tear. In spite of years of use, the top was as sturdy as the ship beneath her feet. Next, she wrestled her hair into a braided pile atop her head, sticking it in place with wooden combs. Tears cut warm paths down her cheeks, and she did nothing to stop them. 52. There were 52 when they should be 53. 51 more opportunities to fail. And this just wasn't anyone. This was Lace. Apart from Pisces, there wasn't a girl on board she trusted more. Lace had slipped into the fabric of the ship as though she'd always been there. She'd worked seamlessly at Caledonia's side, and whenever she laughed, Caledonia was warmed by a memory of her mother doing the same. She'd gotten them both killed. At a knock on her cabin door, Caledonia stamped out her thoughts. She smoothed her tears over her skin and stood to retrieve her gun belt. "It's open," she called. The door swung and Pisces stepped into the room, her own eyes shiny and red. "We're ready." Caledonia nodded. She didn't trust her voice to come out steady. Her throat, her lungs, her gut felt punctured by sorrow. as though the air were constantly wheezing from her through tiny holes.
Kala, no one blames you. Pisces tried to catch Caledonia's eyes.
They should, Caledonia answered, voice thin.
It's not your fault, and any one of us would have taken her place.
A tremble began in Caledonia's hands as she cinched her gun belt and latched the buckle.
Any one of them would have taken her place.
It wasn't a threat, but it felt just as heavy.
Pi, she started,
and when she couldn't find the word she needed, she reached for her friend's hand instead. Pisces squeezed tightly.
We all loved her, and we all love you.
There was a moment years ago when Caledonia and Pisces had decided which of them would lead their budding crew. After a year with only themselves to consider, they'd fallen into a kind of wordless rhythm. The pain of losing everyone they'd ever loved had left them with a powerful intimacy. Instead of hardening against each other, they grew together, their hearts and minds weaving around one another like the roots of an old tree. But as their numbers grew, so did their need for clear lines of command.
One of us needs to lead, Pisces had said. You need to lead us.
Why not you? Caledonia asked, though she knew Pisces was right. They were barely 15 turns at the time, and she felt too small to take on the mantle of her mother.
Because, Pisces began, one of us also needs to follow.
She'd only dimly understood what that meant at the time. But with every day that passed, she understood it a little bit more. Today it meant that she had to stand up under the great weight of this loss. And it meant Pisces would make sure she didn't do it alone. Clenching her jaw against fresh tears, Caledonia let Pisces pull her down the dim hallway and up onto the deck. Before them, the entire crew stood quietly under the moonlight. Behind them in the near distance rose the uneven outline of the Bone Mouth Islands. And at their feet lay Lace. She'd been washed and dressed in a simple white shift that fell to just above her feet. The Merry Sisters had made it, singing softly as they stitched. Her hands had been wrapped in fresh lace, crisp and bright in the moonlight. On her arms, the crew had painted their names in black ink. 51 names curled down her skin, and in her hands, she gripped a gun against her breast. For a moment, sadness threatened to overwhelm Caledonia like a great wave. Then she raised her eyes again to the faces before her and reached for the strength of her mother. She didn't remember many deaths aboard the Ghost, but at each one, Rona Styx had stood tall and strong as she spoke the same words Caledonia now needed. Never once had Rona faltered. As a child, Caledonia thought it was because her mother was too strong to feel sadness. But standing here now, she understood that Rona had turned her sadness into another kind of strength. It was her responsibility to be strong for her crew, even in the face of loss. Tonight, we say farewell to one of our sisters, she began. The sea carries us in life. It feeds us and rocks us and challenges us. And in death, it gives us peace. As she spoke, Amina, Hime, and the Merry Sisters began to secure stones to Lace's body. They were plain and gray, unremarkable sea stones. But Caledonia imagined each one a bright citrine, bright enough to light her way. One at the feet, one at the thighs, one over her chest. When they finished, they lifted her between them and carried her to the railing, blonde curls bouncing one last time. Pisces stood near with the paintbrush in her hand. Caledonia took it, bending to add her name on the back of Lace's hand. "We loved you well, Lace," Caledonia said. "But you loved us better. Take our names and our hearts with you, and keep us from below." Carefully, the girls lowered Lace's body over the railing, then let it slide into the dark waters. She vanished with a small splash, and the rest of the crew raised their hands into the air, cupping their palms like sails in final parting. Long after most of the crew had dispersed and gone below decks for the night, Caledonia stood in the same spot with her eyes on the water below. She breathed deeply, forcing her mind to fold the death of her friend into the past. She needed clear eyes if she was going to keep this crew going. But Lace was dead. Someone she loved was dead. And it was her fault. Again. Redtooth leaned next to Caledonia, one hip braced against the rail. She looked as fresh as Red ever looked. Her blonde braids were smooth, and the red clay at their tips renewed. Her freckles were distinct and clean, and she'd taken the time to mend a few rips in her favorite gray jacket. But her eyes were puffed with sadness. And now Caledonia recalled the sound of her cries echoing through the ship as they traveled to this resting place. More than any of them, Redtooth was made for battle. She found joy in the danger and fought fearlessly beside her sisters. But all that battle fury came from a surprising softness. She loved as fiercely as she fought, and she mourned as deeply as she loved. "Captain," she said, an apology for the interruption in her tone. "I'm sorry," Caledonia found herself saying. Redtooth's frown was severe, almost affronted. "She wouldn't want you to apologize."
"No?"
"No," Redtooth shook her head, assured of her answer even as she struggled to find her next words. "She'd want you to keep going. Keep fighting. And I think she'd want you to have this." She held in her hands a loop of dingy lace. It was long enough to wrap around a hand a dozen times or more, its creamy color stained from years of use and fight. The scalloped edges had long since lost their shape, and the weave was soft to the touch. Lace's hand wraps. When Lace's mother smuggled her out of the holster, she sent her with a small spool of this very lace. It was the only thing of value in their possession, and she couldn't bear the thought of sending her girl away on her own without anything to trade, even something as useless as lace. It had been her opening gambit when she met Caledonia's crew, a spool of lace for a spot on their crew. That was how she acquired her name. And when the other girls told her Lace was less useful than their goat, Lace decided to show them all. She wrapped her hands in that lace before every battle and hit bullets harder for it. Caledonia held out her hands and let Redtooth drape the lace between them. In her mind, she saw the flash of Lace's curls as she fought bravely against a bullet twice her size. Anger rose in her heart like the tide. Her hands closed around the lace in her hands. Her voice was deadly when she said, "Bring me the boy." Chapter 9. In moments, Redtooth had the boy on deck. He nearly dangled from her grip on the back of his shirt. His hands were a painful red from the bindings, and his face paler than it had been when he came aboard. He blinked in the dim moonlight, eyes quickly coming to rest on Caledonia. Redtooth paused, awaiting orders. The boy seemed to think this could go well for him. His lips parted once again in that strangely hopeful expression. It made Caledonia's skin itch. "Unbind his hands," Caledonia commanded. Redtooth complied, and as blood flowed freely to his hands, the boy hissed at the pain. "Do they work?" Caledonia asked, prompting the boy to flex his stiff fingers and prove they still functioned. "Good. You're going to need them." Redtooth grinned, and his face fell. "Throw him over." The boy struggled violently for the first time. He aimed a kick at Redtooth's knee, neatly knocking her to the ground. The only crew left topside were a few on watch. They knew better than to abandon their duties, but when Redtooth went down, all five of them turned. Caledonia had her pistol out, ready to shoot him and be done with it. She pulled the trigger just as her hand was forced up at an angle. The shot barely missed the boy, and her gun was snatched from her grip. The face that appeared before her was Pisces, lips tight and eyes wide. She threw the gun down, once again putting her body between Caledonia and the boy. Caledonia didn't give her time to settle. She stepped in and knocked her to the ground with a punch to her gut. Pisces was strong. She was tall, and she was fierce. But when it came to combat, Caledonia bested her every time because Pisces couldn't bear to hurt the ones she loved. No matter how many years they spent sparring together, Caledonia could never quite explain to Pisces what it felt like to let your heart turn to stone and fight as if your life depended on it, even when it didn't. Pisces knelt now, one hand clutching the new pain in her belly. It had been a kind hit. Nothing was broken. But kind could still hurt. "I'll go with him," Pisces warned. "I owe him a debt." "You owe him nothing." Caledonia fought to keep the anger from her voice. "The only people you owe anything to are your crew, your family." Her eyes flicked up to the boy standing behind Pisces. "He is the reason our blood died. He's the reason Lace died. All you owe him is a bullet. He saved my life. That has to mean something." She looked at the boy, once again kneeling on the deck beneath Redtooth's watchful eye. "We spent years wishing someone had stood up for our family, for our mothers or fathers or brothers. Well, he did. The thing we've always hoped a bullet would do. And I won't let you kill him for it." Drawn by the sound of gunfire, the crew was slowly emerging from below decks as Caledonia stood poised over Pisces. The boy was braced on his knees, his hands held out before him in a show of submission. He kept his eyes pinned to Caledonia, but he was sharp. She was sure he'd paced his distance to either railing and marked every new girl that joined the growing crowd. Caught between the desire to ease her gentle friend through this and the urge to toss the boy, Caledonia took a few precious seconds for herself. It was impossible to ignore the similarity of this moment and the one 4 years ago on the beach. Only now it was Pisces treading in the deep water eyes of a bullet and their new crew at risk. She wanted Pisces to come to her senses and see this for the trap it was. She wanted the challenges to stop. She wanted this crew to rally around a single point of focus as they'd done for so long. They were nearly all here now, her crew, forming a dense ring around their captain. "On the back of the sea, who do we trust?" she called. Her crew answered together. "Our sisters!" Caledonia raised her voice a little more. "When our ship falters, who do we trust? Our sisters!" She saw Amina and Hime and Tin move to the front of the gathering crowd. She shouted, "In a storm of bullets, who do we trust?" The voice of the crew rose to its highest peak. "Our sisters!" And now Caledonia lowered her voice, speaking only to Pisces, who was still kneeling on the ground. in the face of a known enemy. Who do you owe? Slowly, Pisces lifted her head. Tears lay across her brown eyes, but she had too much practice to let them fall. She looked from the boy to the ring of her crew and answered,
"My sisters."
Caledonia pulled Pisces to her feet and pressed a quiet kiss against her mouth.
"He must go."
Finally, Pisces nodded. It was all the invitation Caledonia needed. She moved around Pisces, collected her gun from the deck, and strode forward. The boy scrambled to his feet, but instead of fighting, he stopped and faced Caledonia.
"I know where they are.
I don't think you understand how little I care to hear you speak." He studied her intently, eyes locking on the tattoo at her temple.
"Your brothers. You both have brothers. I know where they are."
It was the last thing she'd expected him to say, and she drove the muzzle of her pistol into the soft underside of his chin. Red Tooth stepped up behind him, becoming a wall holding the boy in place. He didn't try to escape.
"The marks on your temples?" he asked. "I've seen them before."
Caledonia gnashed her teeth. Pisces came to stand just behind her elbow, brushing fingertips along Caledonia's back. Even with violence between them, they were bound together by cords of trust. Caledonia nodded to the boy, trying not to reveal the depth of her own anxiety.
"Go on."
He spoke softly, urgently.
"Two boys, captured years ago and brought into the family."
Caledonia barely stopped her hand from rising to her tattoo. Barely stopped the sudden press of tears. Pisces gasped so near that Caledonia thought the sound came from her own mouth. The fingers that had brushed her back now fisted in her shirt.
"Lies will only make your death more painful."
Caledonia felt the words move through her lips, but her mind was cool and distant, as if muted by an icy rain. She couldn't let herself entertain the idea that the boy told the truth. Their brothers had died along with the rest of their family. She'd seen Donnelly's gray coat at the end of a metal spit. They were dead. He shook his head.
"I told you. I won't lie. Two boys. One white, one brown. Both perhaps 12 turns when they arrived. 16 now."
In the year after the attack, Caledonia and Pisces had frequently found themselves hoping that they hadn't been the only ones to survive. They imagined someone, mother, father, friend, took a toe and a blue lung and submerged for so long, traveled so far that by the time they surfaced again, they were long lost. They imagined their parents knocked unconscious and set adrift on some scrap of ship, scooped up by Amina's people, the hands of the river and the braids far to the north. They imagined their brothers stowed away on the attacking ship and made a clever escape later. But these were middle-of-the-night ramblings, words neither of them meant to say aloud until it was too late. Ideas they soon realized were weapons, carving again and again into their hearts, until one night, they agreed to never speak of the dead again. "They may live in our hearts, but not cloud our minds," Caledonia had said, doing her best to be brave and strong. And tears had rolled down Pisces' cheeks as she agreed in a voice so much smaller than her friend's.
"Our first family shall not be our last."
At these words from this hell of a boy, Caledonia felt her mind flood with thoughts of Donnelly. His unruly black curls, his unfathomable stories, his insistence on splitting his portion of bread with her. Had he been alive all these years? Had she abandoned him twice? The thought was sharp as a dagger in her gut.
"Lies," she said again.
but she found it difficult to force an edge into the word. The boy before her licked his lips, pushing his chin down against Caledonia's pistol to meet her eyes. "The one with your mark liked to sing. At least, at first. Donnelly. The one with yours is strong as the tides." His eyes moved briefly to Pisces and back.
"Kala,"
Pisces' voice was little more than breath and pain.
I know where they sail. I can help you find them."
This time, the boy's voice took on an edge of distress.
"I can help you find them, but you have bigger problems."
"Be explicit," she demanded. "Eric's placed a bounty on you, on this ship. That barge you sank, it was a trap. They were drawing you out, had a dozen ships within a day's sail of that mark. They're all on their way by now."
The crew was a silent wall, watching and listening to every word, wondering if he told the truth. If he did, then every ship in all the Bullet Seas would soon be hunting them. She had to acknowledge that he'd been terribly smart. If he'd fought harder than he had, against her or Red Tooth, he'd be dead. And now, here he was offering crucial information. Calculating, she decided. She must never forget that bullets could be calculating.
"You're just a bullet," Caledonia said, letting her words drip with derision. "How can you help us?" Wind tugged the boy's hair across his eyes and pressed his shirt tight to his body. He shivered.
"I've been on the inside since I was 7, he said without hesitation. "Your brothers are on the Northwater conscription routes, and I know where they're most vulnerable."
In 4 years, Caledonia had never considered sparing the life of a bullet. But she wanted this hope he offered. And that desire stayed her anger long enough that he shifted from a devious bullet to just a boy. He breathed in and out through his nose, trying not to look like he was trembling. But Caledonia saw the slight shudder in his shoulders. "Shiver," she corrected herself. He'd need silt before long, and when he hit that threshold, he might prefer the deep to her hold.
"They're together?" Pisces pressed. "You know the ship?"
The hope in Pisces' voice was what did it. Caledonia's heart squeezed. She held up her hand.
"It doesn't matter."
Pisces choked as though Caledonia's fist had once again landed in her belly.
"What do you mean? Of course it matters. They're alive and they're our brothers. We have to go for them."
For a moment, there was only the sound of the wind in their ears. Caledonia let the scenario play out in her mind. The Moors Navis heading directly into the Bullet Seas, and dozens of ships folding around them like a fist. 51 more deaths she could have prevented. No. If what he said was true, and their brothers were alive, Caledonia would go after them alone if she had to.
"Red, give me some room," she said quietly.
Red Tooth frowned at the order, but stepped away from the boy and turned her irritation on the crew.
"Back it up," she cried, herding the group out of earshot.
Caledonia holstered her weapon and stepped even closer to the boy, until all that might fit between them was wind. His breath was hot and unsteady, his jaw tight. Caledonia made her voice a hard-edged whisper.
"I hate what you are more than anything in this world."
The boy flinched at that and answered,
"I promise you, I hate it more."
Her first instinct was to dismiss the comment. She didn't care what he did or didn't hate. But there was a note of sincerity in his voice that she couldn't ignore.
"What do they know about this ship?"
"Not much. A general description. They suspect you shelter in the Bone Mouth. But I guarantee they don't know your girls. Or they didn't when I left." And if they did? A frown flashed across his face. They'd send more after you than a dozen ships. Eric would never let it be said that any of his fleet might be bested by a clip of girls. Crew, Caledonia bit back. The boy almost smiled. Crew, he repeated. It was true. With a few legendary exceptions, the bullet fleet was predominantly male, all except for the scythes, who were mostly female. Eric preferred that women spend their time adding children to his fighting forces rather than fighting in them directly. Caledonia studied the boy for a moment longer. She couldn't trust a word that left his mouth. But neither could she discount what he'd said. If you're lying about our brothers to save your skin, I will make sure you spend a very long time suffering for it. He nodded, locking his eyes with hers as he answered, I believe you, Caledonia Styx. Again she fought the urge to throw him over. Looking at him was bad enough, but when he was agreeable, it was somehow worse. She stepped back, turning to face her crew. If there's a bounty on this ship, we need to lay low for a while. Lay low? Pisces asked, horrified. What about our brothers? We can save them, Calla. We can get them back. We've just lost one of our number. And that was taking on a single ship. Sailing directly into the bullet seas? Even for our brothers, it's too great of a risk. But he knows where they are. Pisces' voice carried easily across the deck. Dozens of eyes looked between the girls, anxious, curious, and hearing every word. Caledonia didn't want to have this discussion here in the open. She needed time to think, to consider all possible options. She couldn't leave her ship and her crew when they were being hunted, and she couldn't ask them to follow her into even more danger. But she also couldn't ignore that their brothers were possibly alive. It's not so simple, she said.
Seems pretty simple to me, Red Tooth locked her hands on her hips, towering above everyone. Your brothers are alive. We go for them, we get them, we bring them home.
A murmur moved through the crew. There was a whistle of approval, a scatter of applause, all signs that Red Tooth's opinion had traction. For a brief second, Caledonia wanted to take advantage of it and rally her girls to sail straight into danger and save Donnelly and Ares. But it was foolish. And it was selfish. Home? Caledonia repeated. There's nothing I'd like more than to have our brothers here, safe aboard this ship. But I can't, I won't ask any of you to risk your lives on something so dangerous. Especially with a bounty on our heads. She turned her gaze to Pisces. If we go for them, we'll go for them alone.
Apologies, Captain, but I don't think so. Red Tooth shrugged, eyes falling on the lace now balled in her captain's hand. The thing about family is sometimes you don't have to ask us to do stupid things. And sometimes you don't get to tell us we can't. Going after your brothers? Worth the risk, if you ask me.
Rona's voice was brisk in her ear. Loss is inevitable. Some losses will be harder than others. So remember this. Never risk more than you're willing to lose.
We'd be risking all our lives for only two. Caledonia imagined her heart a stone, heavy enough to sink through the tumultuous waves of the ocean. But then Tin stood out from the ring, her four sisters at her back.
Red's right. We're all here because that bastard took something from us. If we can't fight to get any of it back, then what are we fighting for?
Heads nodded, not a single note of dissension among them.
It isn't the mission, Caledonia protested. We sink barges and get out fast. There's an entire ocean between us and the North Water. There's no getting out fast up there.
She sought Amina for support and found that, though her expression was conflicted, Even she didn't look convinced. With a scowl, Amina raised her voice.
Sisters, how many of us had siblings taken by Eric Aher?
Hands rose across the deck, and Amina continued.
I saw my own brother murdered before my eyes. If he'd lived, nothing could stop me from going after him. Just as nothing should stop you, Captain. Let us use this bullet to save them.
Hime stood forward next, hands moving smoothly. We are your sisters. You've said so many times. If we are your sisters, then they are our brothers. Let us do this. Let us save them. Caledonia didn't know what to do with the tremor in her blood. She felt Pisces' hands slip inside her own and squeeze. She turned again to the boy. It helped her to focus somewhere she could direct her fury. His shoulders twitched, and he blinked hard. He needed a drug they would not supply. You're about to go through a hell fight as the silt leaves your blood. Survive it, and you might survive me. He didn't smile. Caledonia thought she might have hit him if he did. But he breathed in relief, nodding without speaking.
Kala?
Pisces asked, daring to sound hopeful.
Your orders?
We need supplies and repair, she said, tasting salt on her lips and disbelief on her tongue. She drew a deep breath and began wrapping the long band of lace around her left hand. The bone mouth was within sight. But they needed more than they would find scattered across those islands. They needed a port.
We sail for Cloudbreak.
The crew held still until Caledonia finished threading the lace between each of her fingers and around her wrist. She made a fist as she tied it off. It was the smallest piece of lace she could carry. But it was the part that was always ready for a fight. There was no doubt in Caledonia's mind that Lace would have agreed with her brave-hearted crew. And she'd have done it with a smile. Caledonia lifted her eyes again to her girls. They waited, hopeful and ready.
There's a storm on our tail, ladies. Not a small one. But we're fire on water.
She paused, turning to meet Pisces' eyes.
Let's go save our brothers!
Chapter 10 Caledonia spent the rest of the night wrestling with the ghost of her mother. She couldn't shake the feeling that Rona sat on the trunk across from her bed, back pressed against the wall, one knee folded beneath her, with a critical expression on her face that seemed to say, What do you think you're doing, Caledonia? The answer felt selfish. She wanted to believe she was doing the right thing. More than that, she wanted to believe Rona would have done the same thing. But Caledonia knew what her mother would have done. She would have stood resolute in the face of her crew and set them on a course that increased their chances of survival. She never would have endangered the rest of the crew if there was a chance to escape. She'd say, It's a captain's job to hold the line and make decisions that will keep her crew safe, even when their hearts cry out for something else. And here Caledonia was doing the exact opposite. For Donnelly. Was he truly alive?
Living amongst Eric's fleet?
The bullet's description was too specific to dismiss. She was helpless against the hope that now spun in her chest, kicking up old memories. On nights when Caledonia lay stretched on her belly along the bow of the ship, studying the water below as her mother had taught her, Donnelly would lie next to her on his back, eyes trained on the stars above.
Nia,
he said one night when the wind had turned cold and they were bundled in layers of precious wool. He was the only one who called her Nia. Everyone else chose Kala or Callie or even just Cal.